Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. We have some guests today that are recurrent visitors to Democratic Perspective. We started, Mike, in 2014.
2014,
having these folks
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Mike Cosentino here. We're Democratic Perspective wants to at least make a little notice before we get to our wonderful guest this morning on a big story that we like here at and Democratic Perspective. We want to give a nod to the Democratic sweep. We haven't had a live show since the Democrats have done so well in the 2017 elections. We'll probably have a future show maybe analyzing a little bit as things shake out, but right now we just want to say, phew, at least it's a little hopeful, as we were talking about before we went on the air, that it's a little hopeful. But we have Bob Oliphant here this morning, author of Wake Up, Verde Valley, and talking about Yavapai College. I did do a little preview of the show down at Cactus Cates with some of your biggest supporters down there, Bob, and they were happy to know that we were. I want to read the whole title: "Wake Up, Verde Valley! You've just been ripped off." Is the subtitle. Like a lot of good books these days, the real meat of it is in the subtitle. We have Ruth Wicks with us. Ruth is here as the faithful sidekick. I'm not sure that's the right term.
Ruth is a longtime community activist.
Thank you.
Well known in Clarkdale and Cottonwood and to some extent up here. But you mostly do most of your work down there, and you've done just everything I can think of that was sort of help people out progressively
Why, stuff. Thank you.
You've been a long time, very, very sweet but persistent agitator. We like those kind of people.
I don't know about sweet.
I'm
sure there are people.
I'm throwing you a little compliment
because
I know you're a toughie.
Yeah, no, that's a problem with her. She can't be anything but sweet. But anyway, that's.
So before we go on, Mike, listen, 2014, we broke the story here about it was our sort of breakthrough story about the Yavapai College. Now, we got all the information from Bob Oliphant's writings about it in those days. In other words, I heard these wild stories about Yavapai College taking all the money, and Mike had talked about it to me too. But I heard all these wild stories from one of the former professors about Yavapai College taking all the money from the Verde Valley and hauling it over and spending it all over on the other side of the mountain. And then we found Bob's work, and Bob had systematically come up with all the data, with all the information, and with all the statistics to show exactly what had happened. And so it made our kind of investigating reporting easy because we had Bob. And I told him, I think it bothered him a little, but we did have someone check everything you said. It all checked out, Bob. Every single little period, it all checked out. It was all accurate.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment. You should be complimented. Because back in 2014, very few people here in the Verde Valley knew what was going on in terms of how their tax revenue was being used. Almost no one realized that in December of 2013, and I was on the board, I was representing the Verde Valley at the time, the board approved, at the president's urging, a $103.5 million development project, capital development project. And they had allocated less than 5% of that development for the Verde Valley, for Sedona, the Verde Valley. It was incredible. I could not believe that any proposal could be so one-sided. I've never seen anything like that.
That's why we checked everything. That's why the wildest stories we heard turned out to be correct. Bob, I mean, it was that extreme. I mean, folks, if you didn't follow the story back in 2014, you weren't a listener then. I mean, the amount of money in Sedona was over $6 million. They were spending nothing here. They were going to close our campus, and they were taking $6 million a year from the what's the equivalent of a school district here.
So it is true that one of the reasons maybe, you know, this is pat ourselves on the back time, that the 70 or 110 people that showed up to the board meeting at the Sedona campus literally saved the campus. I believe they were this far, you're looking at my fingers, of course, this far from closing it.
And the Sedona City Council got on board. They got on, the newspaper got on board. We should give them credit too.
That's right.
It was really bipartisan. It was not a Democratic Republican thing. We had lot of Republicans involved in getting this thing done. A lot of Republicans believe in education, and so it was really bipartisan. Now,
I do want to mention in the history part that, you know, from the instructor standpoint, you know, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, finally, we saw things disappearing. We saw programs disappearing. All of a sudden, students in Sedona are having to drive to Prescott for simple classes. As we saw administrators disappearing, and one of those administrators, several of them, these were the college's presence in the community. One of the ways you got students, one of the ways you had a community presence, one of the ways you get the college, we're going to talk a lot about community development, and a place like Cottonwood and Prescott, the Institute of Higher Learning is a community economic developer. There is no getting around that. It is a good part of that. All of that was going away little by little. It took about 4 or 5 years for it to be really, as far as I'm concerned, devastated. To the one time
I remember you talking about the courses disappearing. You would be in the catalog teaching some course, and then that course would disappear.
Yeah, right.
And
exactly.
Then that was just yours, but other people's courses in English just disappeared.
That's it.
They just faded down to nothing.
That's it. And just repeat that sort of story, you know, a few hundred times as far as courses go, and dozens of people. So that's but now one of the things we're going to talk about, if we're going to preview the show a little bit, is this culinary arts program. The college, really, we had college folks on. We had the president on. We had the marketing guy on here. So it's a Democratic perspective, did its due diligence at that time, had those folks on to at least talk about what had happened to the Sedona campus, to the what they call Verde Valley, the Clarkdale campus. And I think we can kind of sum this up maybe from the we're going to tell both sides of this, that Prescott Valley's growth and Prescott itself, the hometown was basically taking all the money, taking all the goodies, all the great programs, all the great development. So much of it was going over there that finally, through Bob's efforts in the last few years, some is coming this way, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about today.
It really was Bob and Ruth's efforts and other people finding out and understanding what was going on because of your guys' work that we managed to turn things around, at least partially. And if Bob hadn't been on the board, I don't know if we'd have gotten all that inside information. But Bob's information was sort of irrefutable. I mean, there wasn't a lot of they tried arguing with it. We went to all these meetings and gobbledygook this and that. But, you know, you had them, Bob, by the
well, actually, yeah. I mean, it was a joint effort. I resigned in January of 2014 to try to do something outside to alert people. Ruth, fortunately, is an incredible community organizer. We went and talked to the Sedona officials, and quite frankly, the reason, well, think about this. In 2014, the Sedona Center was being looked at and closed down. They really had removed all the programs by then.
Yes.
The international film program had been shuttered by them. They had taken out everything. I think they may have had one or two part-time teachers left. That was all. And they were well on their way to sell that project. Because of Ruth's organizational efforts and your efforts, and Rob Adams really needs, Rob stepped in. He helped get us the first information on it's actually $6.5 million back in 2013. coming solely from the Sedona taxing district.
Former Mayor Rob Adams.
That's right, former Mayor Rob Adams.
Well,
they all helped.
To interrupt you, yeah. Rob also had a formal statement that all the incorporated communities signed, saying that they wanted more effort on the part of the college. So there was really a unified cry across the valley for better service by the college.
That's a good point, Ruth, because this is how this thing works. In other words, Sedona gets outraged, and Sedona City Council, when they found out what was going on, and they really didn't know. Nobody had focused on this, Bob, until your information came out. What they did then was spread the word to all the other communities in the Verde Valley and recruit them to the effort. And so 2014,
right.
We find ourselves in this terrible situation. They're closing the campus here. They're shutting down the program. They're going to take the OLLI program, which is an adult learning program, great program, and they're going to move it somewhere else. They're going to find some other facility, and they're going to sell off the campus and the land.
Right, that's right. Well, from 2014 to today, an awful lot of people have been working for the Verde Valley and Sedona in particular, and the college is very, very nervous about Sedona. That's one of the reasons that it was not sold, and one of the reasons that you now have a culinary institute here. They saw your community rise up. They saw the leadership, Rob Adams, the former mayor, taking the initial leadership, the council, the new mayor taking on the college. And the college is it's a political entity.
Yeah.
So it backed off. It realized it could pacify the rest of the valley by and large, the politicians, some of whom spoke up and were concerned. But Sedona was united. And so at this very day, you're to be congratulated because of that effort. But you've got a very long way to go with this culinary institute.
So talk a little bit, Ruth and Bob, about where we're at now. So that's 2014. They're just abandoning the Verde Valley. I mean, Mike has these classes, and they just fade on him. And so do the other professors. And the facility, we go down, there's this beautiful little college in Clarkdale, and when we did some investigating, there's nobody students there hardly.
Well,
there's nobody there. Also, we had some really good informants about what was happening besides you guys to find out what was going on. We want to thank those people. You know, it does take some courage even off air to tell the real story about what's happening.
Well, the staffing at the college has diminished. And one of the areas that most people don't know about is student services. Student services is your retention and recruitment piece for your college. So if you have slashed that group of people, then there are people that are not out in the high schools promoting the programs of the college, nor are they there to assist the students in being successful at college, because college is quite demanding. So, To Sedona's credit and the college's credit, you now have the state of the art kitchens here with outstanding instructors. Our fear is, and I think Bob will address this more than I, is there is not a place for our students that are older to live. And so that's one, and that's been a concern with the viticulture and enology program also, which are destination programs. They're different than English 101, 102, where students are moving up through the system. So, Bob, do you want to talk?
Well, one of the problems we saw, and Ruth and I have been working in various ways on behalf of the college since 2007, yes, as an organization anyway, was when the Zaki Gordon Film Institute was here. We met many, many times with faculty and students, and repeatedly the question or issue was, where can we find reasonable housing? Sedona was just too expensive, and there was very little housing in the Cottonwood area, despite what some people would say. There just wasn't. You are now facing exactly that problem. You have a terrific facility. The culinary facility is very, very fine. But to develop that in a way that will make it strong and sustainable, you're going to have to deal with the issue of where will students be housed. And the college has not addressed that problem. does not have anything in its strategic plan or any plan that suggests it will address that issue. It will stand on the sidelines. It will watch enrollment fall over the next 10 years, for example, until they reach the point they did with Zaki Gordon. Ah, you only have 13 or so enrollees. We got to close it down.
Well, that's it. You quoted the Red Rock News as they want, and you were quoting a college administrator that I'm not familiar with. Who's this guy? Anyway,
Rodney Jerkins.
No, that was the reporter. Zach Jerkinson was the reporter. Was Zigafoos? I don't know who that is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sigafoos was Ray Sigafoos. That's a slightly different issue. The other big issue here is career and technical education.
I see.
And developing a facility not identical to, but at least reasonably similar to the world-class career and technical education center they have now on the Prescott campus.
People tell me we have a friend who went to the pastry program, just did the pastry program there, and it was really excellent. They had great teachers. So the facility is good, the teachers are good, and the problem is housing.
The problem here is on this side is housing. On the other side, they have two residence halls, beautiful residence halls over there. They're used primarily for their athletic program. They have a huge athletic program. Of course, there's no athletic program
down here. That's one of the other huge inequalities between this side and that.
Yeah, well, there
so
are
you're
many.
Worried that, Bob, that the culinary arts program, which is going great guns now, will begin to fade because they can't bring people from the rest of the state to it. They can't bring people from out of state to it. We were talking about it before the show, and culinary training programs are extremely expensive. They're mostly in private hands. They cost tens of thousands of dollars. And here you have a modestly priced place in a beautiful venue and in a beautiful city. It ought to be draw people from all over the country.
And
you've
it seems
the word
like
out.
A no-brainer. Have a residence hall doesn't seem like a big reach for a college. You know what I'm saying? This is kind of the business that they're in. A residence hall used to be called dormitories. It seems like a really simple thing, but I don't understand the refusal to build them in the Verde Valley for the last 30 years, and now the refusal to do anything in Sedona with this culinary art school.
Well, and to your point, Mike, is we have championed this idea. They have 80 acres at the Verde campus, so they have land. And Bob even did a sort of a format of what these dorms would look like. Wouldn't be like traditional dorms that we stayed in. They would be maybe
tents.
Tents. But you know, like condominiums or that kind of thing. So over Christmas holiday, you could have couples come all over to learn to cook and to learn to make wine, which are both the two destination programs. Plus, that we need development of the hospitality. A piece that NAU has a very strong program, so we need to be working in collaboration with that program, developing a complementary program with NAU. So there's a lot of potential. They're very afraid, and for whatever reason, we don't know, because it's a real opportunity for the college to grow. It'll be a feather in the president's cap that she can say, the Verde Valley is growing. We're doubling our student population.
Well, that's it. I remember when the NAU hospitality program opened, and NAU and all of that over there is still going great guns. And once again,
it
doesn't
rated very highly, Mike. It's
right.
Like second, third, fourth, the best culinary school,
and you don't need a
hospitality school in the country.
You don't need
like Cornell.
You don't need a PhD in college administration to realize that a community college could feed a wonderful 4-year program like that, which certainly had to be on somebody's mind on the college board when they started this whole thing. But to be shooting themselves in the foot, Bob, by a lack of residents, if you say to the newspaper that you want to attract out-of-state students, that's one of the things you want to do with your culinary arts / hospitality program. We need to make sure we have the hospitality part in our talks, even though Not many courses made this semester because it didn't get much, apparently, PR, that these things can be, there's certainly residence halls are the way to go. It seems like they're intentionally killing it.
So let's ask Bob, why are they so, I know it's an investment of money, it's a capital expenditure, but why are they so in afraid of building a residence hall in the Verde Valley? Because it seems like you could put it, and it could serve both Sedona and Clarkdale, and they have two signature programs now, culinary arts, they have the viniculture stuff.
Yes.
Why not, Bob?
They're simply unwilling to make the kind of economic investment over here that they've totally done on the other side. They don't live over here. We have the three members on the west side that block almost everything that we come up with here on the governing board. The president lives on the other side. Most of the vice presidents, other people live on the other side. They just don't see us as much more than sort of a rural outpost is what my perception is. Now, in terms of money, I don't think people have any idea of the huge amount of money that they spend over there on their own economic development and building things. In the last fiscal year, they reported on the record, they spent $17 million on development, on capital projects. Now, just think about that for a minute.
Right.
Where does a community college get that kind of money?
Yeah.
They got
everybody
it.
Everybody understands out there, Bob. Explain that colleges are really economic engines. So there's all the education and idealistic stuff, right, Bob? But there's also, I mean, these are like major contributors to the economy. And so a strong college helps the town. Or county.
That is exactly right. They bring all kinds of things. They simply bring more money because you have more. You have faculty who buy cars, shop at grocery stores. Their families go to schools. They enrich a community. They're a significant enrichment to a community. And they have done that on the other side in spades. They have virtually a community college empire over there. It's the best community college probably in the country.
Excuse me for interrupting you, but would you explain now that the college at Yavapai Community College does not have to go out and seek approval from voters for bonding capacities?
Well, that's something else. We just had overrides approved in Cottonwood, Oak Creek, Mingus school districts, where we ran a regular political campaign.
By 10%, by the way. I mean, overwhelming approval.
Yes, we had terrific support for our overrides. The community college began at least a dozen years ago to alter its budget so that it could, after it paid faculty and paid all its operating expenses, on the table would be $6 to $8 million left over. And they worked on that. They laid off in 2010, 2011, 40-some faculty. So they're reducing those costs.
Right.
Student enrollment declined. But while student enrollment declined, they increased tuition far above the inflation rate every year. And they have raised the property tax rate, I think, 5 of 10 or 6 of 12 years. So they were increasing amounts of money with fewer and fewer and fewer students, fewer faculty. So suddenly they're in this situation. They don't have to ask the voters, as they used to do, with ask for a secondary property tax approval, anything. They can sit, and if they want to build an outhouse, they'll build it. No one's going to stop them, period.
So why don't they build a, we don't call them dorms anymore, Ruth, we call them, what do you call residential things? And I think that's a great idea, and you could rent them out between semesters and stuff. And you could, have programs.
Can you imagine all the big industries like IBM and DuPont companies wanting to take their management teams to the second most popular place in the state of Arizona, Sedona? And you could have all kinds of conferences, leadership conferences, using those facilities for those people to come in case all the hotels and resorts were full. you had that as a fallback for programs and offer these wonderful programs to industry that has, you know.
We do have good auditorium facilities over
yes.
at the Creative Life Center. So what are you folks trying to do now to improve the situation? In other words, I think you've laid out what the problem is. The problem is that the college is absolutely great for Prescott and Prescott Valley. We all know it's an economic engine.
It
it's
is.
A cultural engine. It makes the place more interesting, gives you more stuff to do, brings in new jobs, brings in young people to the community. We know what good it does, and you guys have talked about that. But what can we do to get the balance better?
Well, it's very exciting what's going on in the Verde Valley. It's like a yeast in dough. Everybody is sort of alive with improving education from preschool all the way up to, 14. And so in that regards, Arizona Town Hall has been established. They've done two different forums here in the Verde Valley. And those forums really address the educational needs across the spectrum here in the Verde Valley, what we had and what we'd like to see in the future, the next 10, 20 years. So committees were formed. Dick Dahl was involved in that. I'm probably not going to remember any of the other people, Marshall, Whitmire, Julie Larson, were some of the people on the board that created this. Your wife is a very persistent supporter of that. Sandy Moriarty has been a strong supporter of that, probably on those boards. So, in fact, we're taking those committees that have been formed and trying to support their efforts in improving post-secondary education, looking at the possibility of independent study being done here, and also getting back to one of Mike's points earlier, you know, still wanting our own college, an independence status, either under the board at Yavapai College or standing alone, because we certainly have the ability to sustain a college of our own.
That's a good point.
We have population, 80,000. When the college was formed, there was only 35,000 in the entire county. All right, we produced 3 years ago, $15 million were generated from this valley. That's not any of the secondary ways of getting monies for a college. $15 million, we could have a sweet program here.
Well, I think that's a good point. And we did whole shows in the history of this on forming a Verde Valley campus of Yavapai College. It gets people excited. It got some legal people to look into the legislative process, and then it sort of always fizzles out because it becomes difficult. But I do want to. I want to get back to that. But I want to make sure we came here. You guys came here with such a great list of things that to talk about. The Yavapai College Foundation. 27 people on the board, two from the Verde Valley?
That's correct. I think one of the things you have to understand clearly is they play hardcore politics over there.
Apparently.
These are people who are not fooling around. They understand exactly what they've got. They understand exactly what they're going to get. We do not have the political power over here. We're trying as a group to generate that power. But as you may or may not know, the strongest political engine that developed here was the thing called the Verde Valley Board Advisory Committee. And this was put together by Al Filardo, who followed me and then resigned again in disgust. Harold Harrington helped him at the outset. That's correct. Before we got Harold off the board and replaced him with someone who would represent the Valley more aggressively. But they play hardcore politics, and so they're going to give us some things. They're going to give you the institute over here for a while. They're going to, instead of fully developing the viticulture program, it was 20 acres. They reduced it to 17. Now they've settled at 13. They're going to give us some things. But these are hardcore politicians. They killed off the Verde Valley Board Advisory Committee. Was an enormous political engine in the sense that it really represented the views of the entire valley
right.
very accurately.
So how did they kill it off, Bob? Tell folks.
Remember, you have a board.
Members are still alive.
The board, there are five people on this on the governing board, and three of them repeatedly made it clear they voted against almost everything. I think two of 26 recommendations from the committee were approved. Everything else was ignored or voted down. In September of 2016, during what they called a retreat, during the last 15 minutes when there were no people in the room. Ruth, who was monitoring.
Oh, Ruth, you
that's
had
right.
left.
She was
even Ruth has left.
She looked
How
at
long
it.
Was
that's
that
right.
board meeting?
They saw the opportunity. They'd been looking for a good year to kill off this group because it was becoming very powerful in the sense that it was legitimately representing the Verde Valley and its needs.
It really was. You had a lot of great
terrific,
community members.
Terrific
right?
community
Educators
community
on there, people who knew their stuff. You know, Mayberry's also, lots of folks.
Right. Well, what I call the West County voting bloc had to kill it off, and they saw that opportunity. There were no press present. They don't run the video record of it. It was done as quietly,
hardball politics. Yeah.
Oh yes. This is. They are not fooling around with us over there. When they can kill us off, they will kill us off. And anyway, they their agenda didn't mention anything about a discussion of the Verde Valley
well,
Board
why
Advisory
would they do
Committee.
That? People might
That's
show
right.
up.
That's
they
exactly.
would show up.
So they voted 3-2
three to
once
two.
Again
well,
and killed it off.
Prior to that retreat, we all, there were probably 50 people, maybe 75 people at the District Governing Board meeting held at the Verde campus. And there were 23 that spoke. And they asked that the board not be diminished, destroyed, cut off. And all these people were very sincere.
By that, you mean the Verde Valley Advisory Council.
Yes. Okay. And they were very sincere, very polite. Anyway, so at the end of all those things, the president of the board at that time said, well, I don't know why all these people are here talking about it because we're not going to get rid of the board, quote unquote. And then probably, less than a year.
11 months later, they saw the perfect opportunity to do it. And they did it, and they knew exactly what they were doing.
Right.
See, and they know exactly what they're doing every time they don't allocate.
They have marginalized us.
Yeah.
They view us as the enemy, even though we're coming with ideas to increase enrollment, increase the effectiveness of a post-secondary education, which is most needed in our valley. If you all the superintendents spoke to this group saying we have some of the schools have 98% reduced in free lunch program. So we have a high rate of poverty in the Verde Valley. And it's in the shadows, it's in the dark. And the college, in an effort to address that, has given four computers to the library at Camp Verde and 15 used computers to the school, Cottonwood Oak Creek School District. And that is their effort to address this pressing problem of people not being able to speak English. Michael was involved in that program. We have no classes now for those people, even though 40% of the student population at the elementary school is of Hispanic nature. Mm-hmm. And those people are not brought into the economic engine, as it were, and their needs are not being addressed.
We interviewed the mayor of Cottonwood, Tim Alinsky, and we said, what's the biggest problem in Cottonwood? We sometimes need to ask these really simple questions, and he said poverty.
Yeah.
I was really surprised but that he would even be thinking about that, but that's what he said. That was number one, poverty, and he was talking about Cottonwood, not Camp Verde. And
Beaver Creek.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was going to say, on the poverty issue, the college has adopted a policy to try and address what it sees as poverty in the county and the underserved, and it has some programs. From my perspective, again, those programs are very lightweight. They have a LEAD program, which allows underserved students in high school to attend two courses in the summer on the campus. It's an excellent idea, very, very, very good idea. But I looked at the enrollment this year, and the enrollment was down from the year before, and was not achieving what I saw as a serious goal. It's a good program,
excellent.
But we don't have the politics over here. We don't have the focus. We just
or will.
Well, we maybe and possibly the will. That's true too.
Let me go down this list real quick. A new Allied Health Center in Prescott Valley.
Absolutely. They've just dedicated their new Allied Health Center in Prescott Valley. Beautiful facility, at least $4.5 billion invested in that.
We have a medical center here in Sedona. They have a big one, I understand, in Cottonwood. is there any programs feeding, helping, you know?
What happened to the nursing program here? We talked about that years ago.
You know, we're trying to find out. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to find out what is going on. People have been told not to speak to us about anything at the college. And if we do ask questions, those questions should be directed to the president's office. So, but we hear that the students are having to, some of the students having to go 4 days a week over to Prescott for their nursing program.
What's the Family Enrichment Center?
The Family Enrichment Center is a state-of-the-art child care center over there. Beautiful facility. We don't have anything like that over here. It's a great training facility for students. It serves both the community and the students. Unfortunately, we have nothing here, and there's no effort to develop even a sort of subsidized program over here.
One way to sum up what you're saying is the college is doing great and contributing mightily to Prescott and Prescott Valley. It's still not doing what it could do here, right? And Mike's reading a whole list of the things that they're doing over there that they're not doing here.
Well, they went out and spent over $1 million on a professional tennis complex. They don't have a tennis team or anything. They built that for the city of Prescott and for the Tennis Association. And it attracts, they're having
tournaments
and things like that over there. Yeah. But now think about that. That's what they did. They have the auditorium going over there, the state-of-the-art 1,100-seat dinner theater, the only one of its kind in the nation on a community college site, nowhere else. And that was built primarily for the city of Prescott.
So we have
Prescott.
The bureaucratic problem, Bob, of they want new ideas, but they have to be generated by them. They don't want outsiders with new ideas.
Well,
and when you come
that.
In, they just don't listen to you. They just filter out anything that comes from the outside, and they really just want the ideas that they come up with.
Well, it's bigger than that. I mean, you got sports are all over there. Music is all over there. Theater is all over there. You have, I mean, you know, all of these things that make a community college a community.
Indoor swimming pool. Think of it. They have a beautiful indoor swimming pool, weight complex, built primarily for the city of Prescott and its people.
You know, it can be summarized by one of the district governing board members stating at the last board meeting, looking directly at Bob and I primarily, and she said, "It will never, ever be equal."
Well, we're not necessarily looking for equal. We're looking for some crumbs here. I mean, quite frankly, you know, okay, not
what
equal.
What kind of crumbs are we looking for?
How about transportation? If you're going to have all the cool stuff over in Prescott, then I mean, even Sedona and Cottonwood have transportation. Enchantment buses its people out there. They got the Verde Links, the city of Cottonwood and Sedona get together and get some of its some transportation back. Shit, 6-8 times a day. You can't get transportation between campuses? Come on, now. Schools do this.
They will not address that issue. They're running away from the transportation issue. They see that as taking money away from things they're developing on.
In Prescott.
In Prescott, that's right.
We should take a minute out and thank DOR for their support for the program. DOR is having their breakfast on the 16th, this Thursday, and they have some really interesting candidates for Corporation Commission. What else, Mike?
Other really good stuff.
Yeah. So they have
breakfast.
three candidates. They're all women candidates, and the breakfast is great. We should thank El Portal. No, when I was president of DOR, I thought that the important thing is the speakers, you know? Yeah. And what I soon found out is people want a good breakfast. And you can go there and you can have all the stuff you don't eat during the rest of the month. Bacon and eggs
apparently
and sausages.
That's it.
And,
yeah. We tried having good, I mean, when you were president, they tried having healthy breakfast. Remember?
No, it was a disaster. Breakfast, disaster. Unhealthy breakfast. Yeah.
Where's
but anyway,
the bacon? Where's
it
the
looks
bacon?
Like a good program. There are three really interesting women candidates. We're going to be interviewing the candidate for Corporation Commission, and I think broadcast in a few weeks. Probably it'll take a while because our schedule's kind of busy.
Well, we want to mention that if you're looking to get politically involved or involved or just bored in Sedona, they have those breakfasts every month, and they bring in some great speakers at Old Sedona, right across from the marketplace. So it's a great way to become politically active and find out what's going on locally, what's going on in the state. And certainly we meet lots of folks over there and have, once again, a traditional American breakfast, no matter how quickly it kills you.
Yeah. So what I'm impressed with you guys is you started in 2007 getting interested in the issue, and you've been working on it. And what is this year? 2017. 10 years. 10 years you've been working on this.
And we don't look a day over 21.
No. These are young people, folks. These are young people. I mean, you know, they were out dancing a jig before they came in to do the interview.
So we want
very nice you too.
We do want to talk. We do want to talk more about Verde Valley campus, or at least a Verde Valley side, Verde Valley College. Let's say we have two campuses here. We have one in Sedona. We have one in Clarkdale. Big, beautiful campus in Clarkdale. A wonderful campus here in Sedona, as far as it goes. And the need, I guess I'm summarizing, the need for a residence hall for both of those campuses. That, okay, not equal, got that. Big population over there, Prescott Valley, Prescott, one time, it certainly is the county seat, it was the capital of Arizona in territorial days, got all that. But you can't build a residence hall to share? We'll share one. We'll put it out in the sewer. Some city land out somewhere. You know, we can throw us a bone over here, guys.
It's politics. The problem is politics. You don't have the power. You may want that. You may want all kinds of things.
Why do we need power? This school represents, it's called Yavapai Community College. Excuse me, it's called Yavapai College. They took the word community out, I guess, 10 years ago.
It's still in the legal documents.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So it's their is this like the kid that changes his name to flower in 10th grade.
So to sum up, in a way that
Rocco,
our battle got at least the Culinary Institute. I don't know what happened with the film program. Maybe you can explain it. When our beloved Gary LeMaster, Silent Gary, moved up to Minnesota, we lost somebody who really followed it for our program. I mean, Gary really followed the development. So what can be done? There's been some successes. You guys have had some successes. All the people involved have had some successes. What can be done now to expand on those? And we've got, about five or six minutes?
The best you can do is for everybody to join hands and say, we want improved post-secondary education opportunities. That's all we're asking for. We're asking for the same type of training opportunities that the high school students on the west side of the county have at the Career and Technical Education Center at the airport. That's all we're asking for. Just fundamental education for our students and our folks over here in the Verde Valley.
We haven't spent a lot of time talking about career and tech ed, although it's a big, big, big thing over there, and it's a big, big thing to have in our little area, I guess. The bone they threw us was calling it,
15 to 20 million they've invested over there in the Career and Technical Education Center to make it the best it can be.
We've got about 1 minute. Any last words from you?
No, I think our people in the Verde Valley are quite aware of what's going on. I think they need to be constantly going to their council people and saying, you know, we want these kinds of things. I'm willing to help. I think I was trying to think of all the people that are running the forum committees, all those people need support.
Listen,
and
got,
their ideas.
We got this show and all our shows on vbid.org. Please listen to Democratic Perspective Online, vbid.org.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news and our Saturday replay after the noon news right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.